If you take your Bible and turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we continue going through the Gospel of Luke on Sunday mornings, and today we look at a parable of Jesus, a familiar parable, I'm sure, to many of us that we've heard time and time again. And if you heard 10 different preachers preach on this parable, you might have heard 10 different explanations of what the soil is that is represented here. And so if this is your 11th time hearing this, then you might hear an 11th different interpretation of this. But the good thing about this parable is that Jesus himself tells us what the soils are, and so we can take a look at that today. Luke 8, beginning in verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow the seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. So let's look at the ingredients of this parable. First of all, there is a sower. Verse 5, the Bible tells us that a sower went out to sow. So there is a sower. A sower is someone who plants or scatters seed. Now the sower here is not identified, and the sower is not identified because we're to understand that the sower can be anybody. Any born-again Christian can scatter the seed of the Word of God. You don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be a deacon, you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. Every Christian ought to be sowing the seed. Now I want to ask you a question about this sower. Is he a careless sower? If you ever gone to the feed store and you bought some seed, you know that that seed doesn't come cheap. You have to pay for it. And when you plant it, you don't just throw it all over the garden. You plant it in rows. And yet here's this sower throwing seed everywhere, scattering it anywhere. No place is exempt. Nothing is missed. Everywhere the seed is scattered, and it is equally scattered everywhere. Is he careless when he does this? Well, if we didn't know what the seed was, we might think he was careless. But you see, not only do we find here the sower, secondly, we find here the seed. And verse 11 tells us that the seed is the word of God. And so Jesus is not talking about planting lima beans or pole beans or stalks of corn. Jesus is talking about sowing the seed of God, the word of God, sowing that seed. That's the seed. Now, if Jesus was planting beans or peas or corn or anything else, he would have been careless in talking about the sower. But when he's talking about the Word of God, he is identifying the graceful character of this sower, because everybody ought to have the opportunity to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody. People all over the world need to hear the seed of the Word of God. You see, seed has life in it. If you go to the feed store and if you pick up a handful of lima bean seeds and they look like lima beans, that's what they are. And inside of that seed is the potential for life. There's life inside of that seed. But it will just sit there in that bin at the feed store and never produce anything if that's where it stays. It will stay there till Jesus comes and never produce anything. It has life inside of it, but it's not producing any other life until you take that seed and plant it. And when you plant that seed, then and only then will it produce fruit. Now listen. What we have is the Word of God. And you take the Word of God, and if you go home and you just take it and place it up on your shelf, or you place it on your table, or you place it somewhere else, and you just leave it there. Now listen, I promise you, there's power in this book. There's life in this book. There's power in it when it sits on my shelf. There's power in it when it sits on your shelf. This book is alive. It is unlike any other book that has ever been written. This book is authored by the Holy Spirit of God, and He is the giver of all life. But if you take the Word of God and you put it on your shelf or put it on your living room table and leave it there and never open it up and never read it and never share it, the life is in it, but the life will never come out of it until it's planted in someone's heart. And that's why the sower takes the seed and scatters it everywhere. Why everywhere? Because everyone needs it. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what color their skin is. It doesn't matter what background they may have come from. It doesn't matter what their heart has done before. Everybody needs to hear the Word of God, scattering the seed. And then there's this parable, the third thing in this parable. We see the sower, we see the seed, and the sower can be any born-again Christian. The seed is the Word of God, and then thirdly, we see the souls. And there are four of them that are listed here, four different kind of people that the soil represents. And it represents the four heart responses to the gospel. And one of these could be you here this morning. I promise you that there's really no other responses available. It is in one of these four responses that our heart is found. Every person in this room, regardless of age, gender, culture, background, everyone is in one of these four. We've responded in one of these four ways. Now listen, first of all, the Bible says that some fell on the wayside. Now what is the wayside? Well, the wayside is that part of the ground that's been walked on and walked on and walked on, and it's become a path, it's become a sidewalk. It's had so much traffic on it that it's beaten down and it's as hard as concrete. And yet, the sower still threw the seed on the path. Why? Because hard-hearted people need the gospel. They need the Word of God. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured. Verse 12, Jesus' explanation of that, those by the wayside are they that hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Now listen, The ultimate reason that God gave us the Bible is not to satisfy our curiosity about Him. The ultimate reason God gave us the Bible was so that people might be saved. That's why we have His Word, that people might be saved. But you see, everybody who hears the Word of God doesn't get saved. There are some people who completely rejected. There are some people who have been in church several times, many times, perhaps even 100 times, maybe just 2 or 3 times, but they've heard the Word of God. Maybe they have sat and watched Billy Graham on television, or it was from some other preacher, but they know, they've heard that Jesus has died on the cross to save people. They know that God, they've heard that God is a loving and merciful God. They heard that God has a plan for every person's life, but they have said in their heart, I don't care. I don't care anything about that. I'm not going to waste my time on spiritual things. My life is too short. I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to have a life that I want to live. I'm not interested in Jesus being Lord of my life. I'm going to be the master of my own life. I'm going to do what I want to do, have what I want to have, go where I want to go, be what I want to be. I've heard the word, but it means absolutely nothing to me. I reject it. And so Jesus said in those kind of people's lives that Satan comes and snatches away the word. Now what does that mean? It means that perhaps like some of you here this morning, you have heard the word of God before. It may not mean, doesn't mean anything to you. And so whenever we get finished and you go outside the church house, or maybe just before you even walk out the doors, you think, man, I've absolutely put it out of my mind. I don't want that. I reject that. But in reality, what has happened is Satan has come and snatched it out of your heart. You rejected it. And you don't think about it anymore. When you don't think about it when you go to bed. You don't think about it whenever you get up. You don't care anything about God's word. And maybe you say, well, Brother Shane, well, then why would people even go to church? Well, maybe some, I know some children who come because their parents made them come to church. I know some people who come because they think of what will people think if I don't go to church. I've had people come to church just to get a friend off their back because they've kept asking them and asking them and asking them, and they're like, I'm going to go just to get them off my back. Or maybe there's some other reason. But you're just totally uninterested. And even right now, the only thing on your mind is when is he going to get finished so I can go eat lunch? And there are some here this morning, perhaps, that's exactly who you are. You've never had any pretense of receiving the word of God. But then, there's a second kind of person here. Verse 6, Jesus said, and some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprang up. Now notice in verse 5, he didn't use the word sprang up, but here he does. It sprang up, and it withered away because there was no moisture. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who when they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, fall away. Well, who are they? Well, there's many different interpretations here, but I'll tell you what I believe. These are folks who come into a service, and all of a sudden, man, the emotions begin to run high, and they get caught up in what's going on. Maybe the choir sings a wonderful moving number like they did the day. Maybe the preacher stands up and he gives an emotional service, a sermon, and everybody's just crying and it's so emotional, and you sense that there's something missing in your life, and all you know is that you want to go forward and you want to make what is called a profession of faith. That's what we call it, a profession of faith. You come forward and say, I want to make a profession of faith. I want to give my heart to the Lord. But you never considered the seriousness of the commitment to Jesus Christ. My friend is going up there. This happens a lot in youth camps. You go to youth camps with 500-600 youth. And all of a sudden at the end of the message, man, youth start coming up toward the stage, and here they are, and there's kids out there looking and seeing this, and they go forward, and they make a profession of faith, and we say, oh, look at all these profession of faiths that we had, but then they go back, and nobody ever disciples them. Nobody ever really talks to them about who Christ is and what God has done, and there is absolutely no change in their life. They made a profession of faith, but they're still the same as they were. They never made a serious commitment to Jesus. And Jesus said that anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said you have to count the cost. Jesus said you have to take up your cross and follow me. Jesus said I have to be first place in your life, not second. And there are many who make a profession of faith and it looks like they're going to be okay for a while. They're even happy, but then trouble comes. And I want to tell you something. All faith is tested. God tests your faith. And there are some people who come and they make that profession of faith because they're excited, they're happy, they want to be full of joy, but there's no commitment there. They didn't make a commitment to Jesus as being Lord of their life, and when the hard times come, they never stand for Him. They never trust Him. And whenever they're standing around and there's folks that are telling the dirty jokes, instead of saying, I don't want to hear that, they say, oh man, that's good. Tell me another one. I want to hear another one. They never stand for Jesus. They sprung up. They made a profession of faith, but they never committed their heart to Christ. And folks, I'm telling you something. Being a Christian is not joining a happy group. Being a Christian is not just joining a group of people because everybody else is. Being a Christian is committing your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, when the hard times come, they fall by the way. And there's no fruit in their life. And the Bible tells us where there is no fruit, there is no salvation. And these people, though they've made a profession of faith, are lost people. You say, Brother Shane, I just don't know if I can believe that. Let me tell you something. There's testimonies of people all over today who will tell you, I was sitting in a service when I was young, and man, emotions began to run high, and I knew that everybody else was going forward, and everybody else was doing this, and I just wanted to be a part of it. Some people will say, man, I saw people at church getting baptized one Sunday and I just wanted to be baptized. I've seen people that were taking the Lord's Supper and I just wanted to take the Lord's Supper. But there was no commitment there. And you say, Brother Shane, that couldn't happen. I guarantee you, you can. You can ask many people. You can even ask Miss Jo Brown. Because that's her testimony. I went forward as a child, Miss Jo would say, because I wanted to partake in the Lord's Supper. Everybody else was. But she didn't make a commitment to Christ on that day. And so it happens. And some may be like that. Then there's a third group. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns, there it is again, sprang up and was choked. Verse 14, the one that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. Who are these people? These are people who make a profession of faith, but who have never repented of anything. These people fall into the category that I say, well, brother, I tell you something right now. I don't want to go to hell. Preacher, I tell you, I don't want to go to hell. Well, nobody wants to go to hell. Well, I sure don't want to go to hell, man. I'll walk that aisle. I'll get dipped in the water. There's a lot of people who do that. They walk the aisle, they get baptized, but they have never repented of anything. And their heart is still full of this world. Jesus talks about the cares of this world. Jesus talks about the riches of this world. Jesus talks about the pleasures of this world. You see, you cannot receive Jesus if your heart is already full of things from the world. You ever seen somebody in a restaurant? Right? You go into a restaurant, you walk in, you see some folks sitting at the table, and they begin to scoot over because they say, hey, come over here and join us. And everybody scoots over so that you can fit in there. Now listen, that may work for me, but folks, it's not going to work for Jesus. You can't just scoot over a part of your life and ask Jesus to come and say, well, now listen, here's a little part for you. I'll keep all this other stuff I got going on, and I'll give you a little part right here, and you just take this little part. And as long as you just keep that little part, and I'll keep on doing everything I've been doing, then everything's going to be all right. Hey, Jesus, you can come in, but you're not going to bother my work. You're not going to bother my business world. I'm going to run my own business. I have to be tough in my business. I have to be a little unscrupulous in my business. Now, Jesus, I know you understand that. Listen, he never understands that. And so there are some who have made a little room for Jesus, but they've never given up anything for him. They've never repented. They've never turned away from anything. He's not important in their life. The things of the world are still important in their life. The things that are important in their life are the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this world. And in all honesty, Jesus is just excess baggage to keep them out of hell. These are the people who walked the aisle, filled out the card, get baptized, who have never turned away, who have never repented. And you cannot express faith in him until you repent of this world's goods and systems. You have to turn away from the world and turn to him. And there may be some here this morning who are like that. Oh, Brother Shane, that couldn't happen. There's nobody, that wouldn't happen to anybody. Nobody would do that. Nobody would walk an aisle and say, I want to be saved in order just to keep from going to hell. Ask Rachel Traylor. When she was a young girl, she walked the aisle of the church and said, Preacher, I don't want to be in hell. And she thought she was saved for many years until the Holy Spirit got a hold of her heart one day. She had never repented of anything. She just didn't want to go to hell. And so there are some who have heard. And every time they've ever heard, they just reject it and say, that's not for me. There are some who make an emotional response. But the minute their faith is put to the test, there's no commitment, and so it fizzles. They fell by the way. There are some who made a profession of faith who didn't want to go to hell, but they never surrendered, they never renounced any sin. They never turned away from sin, and they still got all that old junk in their life. And their name may be on the roll here, but it's not there. But there is a fourth response, and it's the good ground. Notice what it says in verse 15. But the ones that fell on the good ground, those who have heard the word with a noble and good heart. Now notice this. Keep it. Now listen, we've seen four words here to describe our response to the Word of God. Number one, they heard it. All four of those heard it. Second is believe it. Three of these believed it. The third response is receive it. Two of these received it. And the fourth response is keep it. And only one kept it. All four heard it, three believed it, two received it, but only one heard it, believed it, received it, and kept it. Now that word keep means to own, it means to possess, it means to have it as a part of you, but by living close to it. That's what the word keep means. It means that it's no longer something that is external, that sits on your shelf. It is something that is in you, inside of you. You see, everybody here this morning has heard the Word of God. I've been a sower today. I've sown the Word. Everybody here has heard it. But you see, it's not just enough to hear it. You must believe it. But it's not just enough to hear it and believe it. Hell is full of people who believe every word of the Bible is true. It's not even enough to hear it and believe it and receive it. You must keep it. Now that doesn't mean that you obey every letter of the law perfectly. Nobody can do that. But it does mean that the Word of God becomes the transforming power of your life. The Word of God has transformed you. The Bible tells us that we were once this way. But then when we received Jesus and trust Him as Lord and Savior, that the old things pass away and everything becomes new. We have a transformed life. We're different. We're changed. Now, if you wonder where you find yourself in all of this, how much time this past week have you spent in this book? How much time have you spent reading it and studying it and spending time with it? You see, if you keep this word, it means that you're so close to it that you're spending time with it. It's continuously transforming your life and you bear fruit. Well, what is fruit? Well, over in Romans 1, Paul talks about soul winners' fruit. He said, I want you to come there so that I can bear fruit among you like I have among other Gentiles. Whenever you win somebody to Jesus, that's fruit. Soul winners' fruit. Over in the book of Galatians, Paul talks about the fruit of Christian character. He says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and meekness and gentleness and temperance and faith. That's character. That's the life of Jesus being manifest through you. Fruit of the Spirit. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, the writer of Hebrews says that praise to the Lord is fruit. That's fruit. How much time have you spent praising Him? How much of His character is revealed in your life? How many people have you won to Christ? You see, the person who keeps the Word is the person who produces fruit. And again, where there is no fruit, there is no salvation. So then why do you keep scattering the seed? What's the point of keeping on scattering the seed? Because here's the good news. Hearts can change. Lives can change. You see, maybe your heart has been a wayside heart. Maybe your heart has been hard. Maybe you've been uninterested. Maybe you considered all this foolishness. But today, you've heard it again. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is plowing a furrow in your heart. And maybe for the first time, it's beginning to make sense. Not because of the eloquence of this preacher, but because of the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Why do you keep sowing the seed? Why do you keep putting it out? Because maybe there's someone here today who got caught up in all the emotions. And they ran down the aisle and they made a profession of faith, but you've never been able to endure. You've never been able to stand when the time comes. You've always compromised. You've never been committed to Jesus. And today, God has impressed upon you, I'm tired of being fickle-hearted. I want to be serious and commit my life to Jesus Christ. Why do you keep sowing the word? Why do you keep spreading the seed? Because there are always some who walked the aisle and they didn't want to go to hell. And so therefore they never repented of anything. And they still carry around all that sin and all those things. And they say, "Woo, well, I know I'm not going to hell," but they still live like hell. And maybe the Holy Spirit of God has impressed upon you there's more than that. That's why I'm a sower. That's why I sow the seed. That is the Word of God. So that people may know who Jesus Christ is. and they may know him and have a relationship with him. Everybody has heard. So what is your response going to be? Father, in Jesus' name, we come to this time of invitation. And God, I pray, men and women who are here this morning will have heard your word. And I pray that they will believe your word, and I pray that they will receive your word, and that they will keep your word. And that your word will become precious and permanent in their heart. Lord, you know who is saved here today. You know who is saved and who's not. Lord, I don't. You know those who are truly your children and those who are not. I don't. But Lord, I pray that as we give this invitation this morning, that your Holy Spirit will have done a work in hearts today, and that our hearts will be more open than they were when they came in, that our hearts will be open now, and that as you reveal to us where we are, Lord, help us not to worry about the people around us or what anybody might say or what anybody may think, but Lord, we're just dealing with you today. We're dealing with you. And do we know for certain that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ? Because we've heard it, we believed it, we received it, we've heard it, we have kept it, and we are a different person than we used to be. Lord, there may be some here today who need a church home, not just a place to visit, but to be a member. Lord, there are many here today who are seeking your will. And Lord, I just pray that we would listen very carefully to your voice. And God, I just pray that you do hear what you choose to do. And may we be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.